following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
It's the Stone Cold and Jackal Show.
Really? That's what you came up with for our intro?
Yo, buddy.
What is up?
How are you, man?
I'm doing great.
So, you just came back from a trip. And it's funny, I thought I knew everything about you. I thought we share everything. I thought that, like, we shared a brain. And all of a sudden, a weird corner of our brain, not the whole brain.
Yeah.
But then I see...
Well, between the both of us, we use 6%.
I know.
you're probably 4 and I'm 2. Otherwise.
But I get on social media this weekend and here's Steve solo for the holidays. And it's not that I was wishing you bad luck, but I was looking for some story. I was waiting for the, oh yeah, Steve's okay, but boy, it wasn't nearly as funny as Stone Cold the Jackal. I wasn't like hoping for that, but I wouldn't have
You wouldn't have minded seeing someone.
I wouldn't
someone.
Have minded seeing
right.
that.
Well, I know, you know, it's very interesting because you really, you come off with that you don't have an ego, but you have a huge ego. So I told you though, someone did say, they go, I was nervous for you, Steve.
Yeah.
To do 90 minutes without Bradford, but you did great.
Oh, wow.
I said, but, you know, we talked about you a lot and, you know,
thanks.
In the Stone Cold and Jackal
show. God, you're just
show.
Perpetuating that whole thing of talking about me while I'm not there.
Yeah, just like on the show. The writing's on the wall, buddy.
Doesn't matter. I can't see it. I'm not there.
No, I know. That's true. That's true, man. It was fun. Dude, I haven't done an event by myself for years.
Yeah.
You know, Port Chuck always was – we were doing Port Chuck, and then we started our Stone Cold and the Jackal show. And
well, because when I first came on the show, you were doing events by yourself, but then you'd bring like – you'd do about a half hour by yourself or something like that, and
mm-hmm.
then bring out
– somebody out.
And a guest just to kind of mix it up.
Just to mix it up, yeah.
But, you know, there wasn't you know, the interactions became more part of the show than they used to be.
Right.
So you were very comfortable going out by yourself for a long time, right?
Yeah. I just, you know, it's funny because we always would say, we'd be like, oh, it's just two actors sitting on a stool. That's boring.
Right.
But then I got back to that, basically.
Sure.
It wasn't that, but I felt that maybe, hey, it's okay to slow it down and hear
yeah.
some stories and answer some questions. And it doesn't have to be a high energy show, which we do, which I love.
Right.
Because it's a great format and
yeah.
it's fun and it's a show. So, you know, it was cool, man. It was always great to get to the East Coast.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice and – it was freezing when we landed.
Which you loved.
Which I loved. Jeremy flew in from Nashville.
Right.
Poor guy got delayed again.
Oh, no.
And then we got in late Friday night, went to the hotel, and then, you know, basically did Governors on Saturday.
Yeah. The old haunts.
The old haunts, and then private dinner on Saturday night at the Raven's Head.
Oh, nice.
Which was cool. Very yeah. loud, though. Very loud. I
oh,
needed a PA
hard.
System, dude.
That's
it was,
hard.
And I didn't have you, too.
Right. I project.
Well, to help me, at least you can – half the room is
– Sure.
You're saying – we're you know, since we share a brain, you're saying what I'm thinking over there.
Right.
But and then Uncle Vinny's on Sunday. It was a nice day. Cold, though, but –
Yeah,
it was great, man. Everybody was great. It's always great to go there, and then.
What'd you have for dinner? What'd you eat?
I didn't eat. I ate before.
Right. Does Raven's Head have a buffet?
Oh, they had great dinner.
I'm trying
to
remember
a great dinner.
The layout at Raven's Head, is it a?
Well, remember we did it upstairs.
Yeah.
Do you remember? So
yeah.
There's a room in the back that we didn't know about.
The place is this the place that we played beer pong?
Yeah.
Same place.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. So we go – there's a room in the back, and
right.
it was just a kind of a drape, and it was called – oh, gosh. They were having this thing called SantaCon where
– Oh, yeah. You were,
what the heck
you
is
were
SantaCon?
In New York for SantaCon. That's right.
What is SantaCon?
Well,
you didn't warn me?
I didn't – I forget. I'm not sure. It must
We're busy.
Come find me when you're done.
Okay.
Is that being beckoned by Nancy Lee?
I think so.
Yeah.
But we're in the middle of a podcast.
Yeah.
We love you, Alexis.
Funny though, I have trouble saying no to Nancy, so good for you. I'm not sure if it was in full swing when I lived there in the early 2000s.
Yeah, so what the heck? Because they don't have that out here.
No, I don't know what it is. Because you'd think this would be their busiest time of the year, so they can't take a weekend off to...
Who, Santa's?
The Santa's.
No, I think it was like an office party SantaCon or something where everyone in the offices dresses Santa or in Christmas gear or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, I walk in and there's a freaking bunch of jokers in freaking Santa outfits.
Dude.
I'm like, what? What?
You're about to the age where you could join that club, dude.
Calm down. You want to get in a headlock. So
why is that Santa so tan?
No, so he's a tan Santa. He's from the Bahamas.
Bahamian Santa.
I'm sure we could do a song to that. So we go in, and then there's a bunch of, you know, Santas and elves and stuff, and and, you know, rap music is just thumping.
Dude, we talked about how YMCA was a missed costume for Port Chuck, but there has got to be a holiday something where you're Santa and I'm your elf. It's just
what? Next year that'll be our Christmas card.
I mean,
100%.
That's low hanging fruit.
Totally. And the best one is because we can incorporate it to what we wanted to do was I could be on the Harley and you're in the sidecar.
That's right. As long as it's like a bright red Santa's sleigh Harley.
Totally.
It'll
be amazing.
Wow.
We do have to do that shoot, though. That'll be fun.
The element of surprise is gone, though. We've told you.
Yeah,
I
know. So
we're going to
Photoshop that now.
Superb.
But it was fine, man. It was fun. I had a good time.
Yeah. I'm just excited that you got some wintry seasons. Did you go to Rockefeller Center and see the big tree?
No, dude. We had no time.
Yeah, I know.
It was just, you know, it was just...
Well, and you were in Long Island in Jersey.
In Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, every time we go to New York, you know, I have so many friends that are still in New York, and but most of them live in the New York City in the five boroughs somewhere. And, you know, sometimes we'll be in Astoria, but rarely are we in the boroughs. We're either in Long Island or in Jersey.
Yeah.
So we're not really in the city. We pass through it, but that's about it.
Yeah. I love Astoria, though, man.
Oh, Astoria's great.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I walked by our pizza place that we would eat at 3 a.m.
Yeah. Does it?
I didn't do that again. That didn't work well for the next...
We've made some poor choices, some poor late-night choices in our past.
Yeah.
But I love that block. There's a block in Astoria where this restaurant is that we go. And, well, like many blocks in New York, everything you need is within
a block, yeah.
And, you know, so there's the liquor store across the street that's got a great selection of wine, which I always hit up. There's the pizza place. There's the Boston pizza place, which makes me super happy, which is weird because it says... It says something about... a Boston pizzeria, which is funny to have in New York City.
Yeah, that's. I'm sure it gets no business. Like zero business there.
But it is. It's just memories of living in New York where everything you need is within two blocks.
It is nice, man, to be able to walk everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's a tough. It's tough living, dude.
Except in the winter when.
It's tough living.
The corners of the sidewalk, the abyss. So where it looks just like maybe a little pile of snow or maybe just a little puddle, and your foot goes a foot and a half.
Oh, no.
You go like a foot and a half, 2 feet deep into a sludge puddle.
Yeah, my wife wouldn't be playing this game at all.
It is I don't know what happens. During the year when there's no snow, the fall off from the curb to the street does not look that deep. And then all of a sudden in the wintertime, after the snow starts to melt, you step into what looks like just a thin pile of snow, so you're watching your step, but then your foot just goes down. It's like it's like stepping into quicksand, or it's just, and it is the most. It'll ruin your day.
First of all, this is weird, but wet socks ruin your day.
Oh, it's the worst.
100%. I'll step in something at home. I'll get in. I'll put socks on, and then it's wet in the bathroom from the shower or whatever. I'm like, come on, man. This is the worst thing in the world.
Wet socks are the worst, yeah.
The worst. That must be some type of torture somewhere.
Yeah. So although I was sad to miss this weekend.
Yes.
I got to say what happened in its place was pretty special. And I would have been sad to miss it if I was with you. So my daughter, some of you may know, does Irish dance, and we had a fesh, which
God bless you,
which is the Irish dance. It's like
a fish.
The fesh.
The fesh.
F E I S.
Oh, F-E-I-S. Now we're doing the whole weird pronunciation thing.
Yeah, well, it's,
so it's the fish.
I know it's another language, so to you it's like, weird, foreign language, weird. It's just other
no,
people speak.
No, I have Rosetta Stone. Shut up. I know what a fish looks like.
So it was out in the desert. And
so how does that even work?
Which part? how does the competition work, or how does me going to the desert work?
No, a competition in the desert.
Well, it's inside.
I know that. I know they're not dancing on cactus, you idiot. But it just seems like a weird place. Like, oh, come to an Irish dance competition in Palm Springs.
Yeah. Okay. So it is. These competitions are all over. All over the states, all over the world. Irish dance is represented. Like people do it everywhere. And so this one was out in Palm. Actually, it was out in Indio or Indian Wells. And it was two competitions back to back, and so it's something we've been wanting to come to this one for a while, and so we had dancing on Saturday and dancing on Sunday. We haven't had a family vacation in a while either.
That was a vacation.
Well, but going somewhere, the four of us.
Sure.
You know, we've had kind of a chaotic year, so the four of us haven't had a lot of time. Just the four of us together doing something fun. So, and the kids love staying in hometels, as they call them.
Hometels?
Hometels.
Oh, that's awesome.
Got to go to the hometel. And so it was at this nice, it was at the Renaissance out in Indian Wells.
Beautiful.
Which really nice.
Yeah.
And so the thing about Irish dance is that in order to move up in her classes, she has to move up in the competitions. Because the dances change as you move up.
Got it.
So to learn the new dances, you got to be there. You got to move up in the competition to be for the teacher to need to teach you the new dances, right? She really wants to move up. When she first started doing Irish dance, I was like, what are these competitions? I remember my sister doing dance growing up, and it was recitals. They worked all year for the recital, and all the family and friends.
So this is kind of reverse in a way.
All the family and friends, you know, you come and watch the recital, and that's the payoff. You know, they learn. But in Irish dance, there are so many different dances because every song is a different dance. Whatever.
Is there a moonwalk in there anywhere?
There should be. They're mostly hopping.
They're hopping. So
if I saw a kid work in a moonwalk, I would be elated.
Dude, they need to do that.
Yeah.
Or maybe an achy breaky.
It is. Some of the team dancing looks a little like square dancing. Mm. Like some, you know.
Yeah. I remember they did it for us when we came in
town.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
they put their shoes on. They had the little wood thing, and they're like doing a thing.
They love it. They truly love it.
That's awesome.
So Juno was really excited and really wanted to do well. And you know, when we first started talking about these competitions, I'm like, she's 5, 6 years old. Why are we doing these competitions, right? I didn't want to make it all about competing just for fun. But she's really into it. Saturday, she danced really, really well. We thought she danced well, but she didn't get the results that she wanted. She didn't place the way she wanted. She didn't get. And she was so disappointed because she thought she did so well. And I was kind of nervous that the weekend would feel like a failure to her. That you know, she wouldn't remember the fun stuff.
Sure.
You know, because we did a lot of fun stuff. We had a great time in the pool. We went to the zoo. Like, just great stuff. But I was worried that it would be, you know, there would be a shadow on it because she didn't. So, but luckily there was another dance day Sunday. And we told her, you know, the judges, because it's all judges, right?
Sure.
So it's, you know, it's subjective, somebody's opinion.
Subjective.
And,
yeah,
you know, just whatever you feel now, work, you know, put that into your dancing tomorrow. And, you know, because you did your best and that's all you can do, right? And Sunday, I've never seen her so motivated in a positive way. Not like, I'm going to get it. It wasn't revenge. It was just inspiration to do her absolute best.
It's awesome.
And she was so driven, and I've never seen her dance like she did. And her results were astounding.
Wow. That's great, dude.
And she achieved her goals and was so proud of herself. And I mean, this weekend we'll remember it forever.
Sure.
For a lot of reasons. But seeing her channel or just go deep within herself and bring out something so positive.
So you just made the case for no participation
trophies.
Okay?
Sure.
That's what you just did.
Sure.
Because the learning moment that she had at such a young age already.
Right.
The fact that she was disappointed in how things turned out and that she changed it around at her age.
Right.
Is humongous.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. You know, we she hasn't always had the best confidence, and we've kind of identified this as something that she derives confidence from. You know, we feel like she should be confident in every arena because she's sure. smart, she's talented, she's yeah. a great girl, like she's nice yeah. to everybody. Like, but this is something she really gets confidence from, and she knows she's good at it good. And wants to get better at it.
Good.
And, you know, for a while I was like, let's do team sports, let's do other things, because I didn't, you know, I'm kind of a stranger to this Irish dance thing, but I'm seeing how great it is for her.
It's great.
And it's so amazing to watch your kid have that kind of experience. And, you know, and it's just about achieving goals. It's not about being better than anybody else. It's not about...
It can be, though. You don't have to sugarcoat it.
No, I know.
But it can be. But it can be. She can win. She should win if she wants to win.
Yeah.
Because here's the great thing that you've discovered this weekend with her is that self-confidence and self-esteem are so important for everybody.
Yeah.
But especially kids.
Yeah.
And they're in the formative years of... The next 7 years are basically going to form her self-confidence and self-esteem.
Right.
Unless later on in life she wants to change it and work on it.
Right.
But the way that's happening naturally that you can keep an eye on is sometimes people need one thing that they're very good at to build confidence.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's Irish dance and she's feeling good about herself, feeling good about her performance, yes, it's not always about winning that way. But if she's confident in that, there's a time where you can use that confidence, or she'll figure it out herself, that will translate into another area of her life.
Yeah.
And that's what's important, because a lot of people now, adults that I know, they have no confidence.
Yeah.
They have no self-esteem.
Sure.
They don't translate any of that discipline mm-hmm. that she's going to have
yeah.
into another area of her life.
Right.
That she'll be able to succeed at whatever she wants.
Yeah. And there is a clear line of, okay, if I work hard,
God bless her.
And I practice.
That's amazing.
Then I get the results that I want.
Great.
And not only that, but I feel good about it.
No,
right?
It's amazing. It's amazing, dude.
And so that work ethic can translate, of course.
100%.
But yeah, and just seeing.
That's awesome.
Just, you know, just the satisfaction that she had and just the way she was carrying herself. It's just awesome.
It's great, because I missed out on a teaching moment with Jack. I try not to on these things, because
sure.
this stuff's really important to me.
Yeah.
You know, kids having self-confidence and believing in themselves. And because I tell them all the time, I go, no, you can achieve anything you want if you put your mind to it and you work hard, right?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, Dad, you've told me a million times. I'm like, great. I want you to remember that. But I had an opportunity, because he's so concerned. He worries a lot. He's so concerned about running the mile in school.
Oh, interesting.
Right. So he's
just
like,
about the timing of
yeah,
it?
About yeah. the time. He's like, I don't want to be the slowest one.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't want to be this. And I don't want to do, you know. And because it's like a young adult. So I think I'm having this conversation of, you know, well, if you don't want to be slow, you should train for the mile.
Right.
Right? Like
yeah.
Bradford, if you want to work out, you got to go to the gym. Okay. No, I mean, I'm just having
right.
a conversation.
But yes.
But there's a chance that I missed of, dude, you're going to do great.
I see.
It doesn't matter the time. Do your best, and this is what you're going to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? And just like, well, I want to get under 8 minutes or 7 minutes. I go, forget the time. Just go do your best right now,
yeah.
and then work on it next time or whatever.
Right.
But I don't want to say the discipline in me was like, you can't become Tom Brady without
sure.
giving your life to it. Well, you know what I mean?
Tom Brady's not fast. You know that, right?
Yeah, but he's the best ever.
Yes.
And that dude sacrifices his life for it.
Yeah.
And that's what – I'm sorry. That's what you have to do to be great, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, my son's not going to be a mile Olympic runner or whatever.
Probably not.
But, you know, he can if he wanted – if he was concerned, you know – if you're worried about something, go work toward it, and the worry's going to go away, and then you're going to build confidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that day, that's the one thing I did tell him. I said, because I took him to run a mile about 3 months ago.
Okay.
Because he was concerned.
Did you run it with him?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, and he didn't do great. He was huffing and puffing. He wasn't doing good at all.
It's far.
Yeah. It's not that far.
I'll run it with him and make him feel better.
Okay, good. So, Dad, I beat Bradford. Well, you got 19 minutes, and Bradford got 30 minutes.
Yeah. If there hadn't been the wine bar halfway through, I would have been a little bit better. But I had to stop. You know how they hand out the little paper cups?
Yeah, there's
someone spiked mine.
Yeah,
I don't know how it happened.
He was laying down on the side of the track. It was weird.
I don't know how it happened.
It was weird. He all of a sudden rolled into a whole plate of cheese. Some grapes just popped up somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like I missed a little bit of a moment there of, we were saying about taking the worry away. I said, can you imagine 3 months ago if we would have just went once a week or twice a week and ran it?
Yeah.
Because then that will take your anxiety away.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm ready. I mean, I did it. I'm here. I'm training. I'm done. Let's go. Let's go. So, but, you know, it was just interesting. I'm always trying to find those teaching moments. Like, so he in school, after school, he's participating in this what they call an app jam. So it's an application on your phone.
Right.
The team of six people from schools in the local area have to create an app that works for your device.
Wow. So they're coding.
Oh my graphic, everything from scratch.
Sounds like something I should be able to do but can't.
Can't, right. So, it went on for 8 weeks or something after school, twice a week for 2 hours after school.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what he was doing. He ended up doing an app. They did an application called Math Runner.
Great.
So, you know, you run, you get the, you have to get the right answer, you know, 6 times 6 and you got to go get the 36 or get out of the way.
Yeah.
And if you hit it, you lose and whatever.
Fun.
So cool, man. I said, great. So it was great. I was here. It was when the rains, we just had those horrific rains.
Right.
And it was down in Orange County, the competition.
Right. I remember that day you had to go.
Yeah. So I had to roll out the competition. I go down there. And you know, it's a room full of the smartest people you ever seen in your life.
Sure.
Right. I go, honey, these are really smart people. So they had all the schools, they had to make a little science, you know, project display, you know, displaying what the app is and how it works. And then they have to go up on stage and explain their app on the big screen.
Wow.
And they go, okay. And then here, this is where, you know, and people, you know, and I said, dude, look, when you're on stage, bro, let me just tell you this.
Right.
You got to just speak clearly, okay?
Son, I know about this.
I don't know about any apps
or math and stuff.
I don't know shizzle about what you're doing.
But when you're on stage,
I know what I'm doing.
Put on a black T-shirt.
Listen, this is what you do, man. You spike your hair up, put on a black T-shirt, and you just stare at that mother right in the back, and you'll kill him. And you'll win the app competition, man. So he gets up there, and he has to talk. And I said, man, just speak clearly and just be a little more have a little more personality than you think you should have.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right. Just because it always translates lower anyway, especially when you're nervous, you know.
Right.
So he did great.
Awesome.
Did great. Everybody did their presentation. And then the judges walk around.
Yeah.
And talk to the kids. And then they announce the winners. Right. So. Third place, not them.
Okay.
Second place, not them.
Okay, they got a shot.
First place, not them.
Oh.
Not them. And he was so upset
that
they didn't place in the top three. He was like, man, that is bull, Dad. They gave them that second place because it was that girl's birthday. I go, dude, no, that's not why they gave her the thing, dude. I said, first of all, you guys had a glitch.
Oh.
But five of them had glitches.
Sure.
Right? Because they couldn't figure out. And the mentor wasn't going to show them.
It's bound to happen.
How to do it, right?
Right?
So they had a glitch. I go, dude, it's not a big deal. You guys had a glitch. It was a great app. It was cool,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they got a participation medal, right?
Hmm.
And so we're walking out. It was just me and him walking out. Sheree and Brooklyn were already kind of headed to the car. And he's like, I don't want this participation medal. I said, okay, give it to me. I said, I'll wear it.
Okay.
He's like, why? I said, this isn't like you're in football placing ninth place and you're getting a trophy to show up.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you guys created an app for a phone.
Right.
You're 12.
That's impressive.
I mean,
right.
Take the participation medal, bro.
Absolutely.
100%. He goes, okay, I'll wear it. So then he put it on, which was
nice.
Cool. Yeah, so
nice.
It was cool, man.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's impressive. These kids did this a freaking app, man. Coded it. They're like, oh, we had a little problem with coding and the graphic arts.
So they're learning coding in school. That's, I mean, I guess.
Yeah, they have coding in school classes, yes.
I remember I got Juno on the iPad, like a little.
A coding game. Game, yeah.
You know, or just basically like it's teaching them.
The basics of coding.
The basics of coding, like. You got to do this before you do this, and yep. You know, just sequencing, basically, right?
Right. And I mean, dude, what?
And she's like, "This is boring. I want to draw." Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, don't get her in there yet, Jackal.
I know.
Code this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool, man. Those moments are, you know, you just got to take yourself out of it for a second.
Yeah.
When you have those moments come up, and just be like, "How can I turn this into something really positive?"
Yeah.
You know. Because I didn't always grow up with the greatest environment, you know, so I always remember that.
Yeah.
I always remember those moments where it was a stepfather that would just like, oh, you're stupid. You'll never get it. Mm. You just remember those
they
forever.
Stick with you,
I remember the moment. I remember sitting at the dinner table. You're so dumb.
Ugh.
You know, those things. And you're telling an 8-year-old this. You know, it just breaks my heart, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I always tell my kids every day. And now with Brooklyn, what we've been doing for the last, I don't know, couple months is every day I make her say, I am strong, I am smart, and I am beautiful.
It's awesome.
Every day. I go, what do we say today? And there's days like, Dad, I don't want to say it. And then she'll kind of warm up
sure.
to it. And then there's days like, I am strong, I am smart,
oh,
I am
yeah.
beautiful.
Right.
It's like she just says those three words for the next 5 years, dude.
Right.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's awesome.
It's crazy what it'll do for your kid, honestly.
Do you remember Daily Affirmations with Stuart Smalley?
Yeah.
I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it, people like me.
There you go.
That was
But, you know, it's funny because you look at the power of thinking.
Yeah.
And we have so much negative self-talk everybody does toward themselves.
Yes.
All the time.
Yeah.
Right? Majority is. It's like 70% or something is negative self-talk. And you have to – if you don't want to keep doing the same thing you're doing or make the mistakes you're making or be in the rut or wherever you're at and you want to change that, you have to change the way you think about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where people get stuck.
Hooray! We get to talk about Green Chef again. Yay! Green Chef is a USDA certified organic company.
Huge.
That includes everything you need
yes.
to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about.
Yeah, delicious is the word because
indeed.
I know the Green Chef expert chefs design recipes with flavor that you would find in restaurants because I know I can't cook that good.
Right? And the recipes are quick and easy with step-by-step instructions, chef tips, and photos to guide you along.
For dummies like me, ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly portioned, although I'd like some more portions, and mostly prepped. Meals include paleo, doesn't matter what you like, paleo, vegan, vegetarian, keto, gluten-free, omnivore and carnivore.
So
and I'm that's making me hungry right now.
Yeah,
just thinking about this food right now.
What do you got cooking this week?
I got some lemon olive chicken, which first of all is so good, dude. With quinoa, roasted carrots and currants. Oh my gosh.
Let me tell you what I'm into.
What do you I know you got something
oh,
dude. That's heartier.
Listen to this.
Yes.
Cajun shrimp mac and cheese.
Oh.
Come on, right? So it's mac and cheese prepared with whole wheat orecchiette pasta, tossed in a rich, creamy Cajun spice sauce made with white cheddar cheese, green bell pepper and onion, pan-seared shrimp. Join the pan last before it's all piled into bowls, a sliced scallion garnish adds a light crunch.
You having wine with that?
Dude, I'm having all the wine.
All the wine.
You gotta match the spice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So here's the deal. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/SCANDJ.
Yep.
SCANJ.
That's greenchef.us. That's important. greenchef.us/SCANDJ. Simplify your dinner process, but don't skimp on flavor and make a healthier, more wholesome choice with Green Chef. Let's hear that deal one more time. For $50 off your first box, visit greenchef.us/SC&J.
Do it.
It's hard to change habits, and it's hard to change habits of thinking. Like, right. You know, there's something that we've talked about in the past, like, you know, and excuse us for getting into the realm of.
Well, I know, but I think it's important.
And, you know, you are, you know, one of the things that Steve and I have talked about is, you know, you are what you think about.
100%.
And if you're constantly thinking those negative thoughts about yourself or about whatever situation you're in, it's really hard to turn those. It's really hard to change that, to change the reality of how you feel about that.
It is difficult, and that's why people get stuck, right? And then you said something great about the habits. People will revert back to their habits if they're trying to change, even if their habits aren't great, because it's what they perceive as normal.
Yeah.
Right? So even though you know it's not the best place to be, but it's still status quo and comfortable for you because it's not outside of your comfort zone.
Right.
Right? And you don't have to put yourself out there and say, oh, I failed or I tried and I didn't make it. I'm a loser. And then you go back to beating yourself up all the time. You know, and it's just, I don't want my kids to do that.
No.
You know, I want them to start off with, you know, people, you know, just helping them think positively and that they can do whatever they want if they put their mind to it. Cause I believe it. I believe they can, you know, and, it's just so important, man. Cause we know growing up and just in life, if you want to achieve things in life or be successful, you can't hang out with losers. I'm just sorry to say it, to be so blunt, but you can't,
right.
You can't do that.
Right.
Because those people are in a certain mindset that will be there forever. And we all know those people that if you're trying to do something else, they're the ones like, what are you doing? You're not going to do that. You're going to fail. Why would you try that?
Right.
We get it all the time with weight loss.
Oh, sure.
Why are you trying again? You already tried this one and that one.
Right.
You don't need the negativity around you. And it's what you said, though, is important because it is hard to separate it and cut it off. Because a lot of times it's your family.
Well, yeah.
And that's what's hard. And you got to learn, man. You got to know. First of all, I want people to know that they can change their situation if they want to by making a decision.
Yeah.
They can.
Yeah.
And obviously there's more to it than that. But, you know, what happens when the negative people come? Or that you got to put the armor up.
Yeah.
You got to put the armor up because there's negativity everywhere. And it will get you down. And then you start doubting yourself. You're letting these other people make you doubt yourself, which everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the psyche's so interesting, man. It's so interesting, you know, listen to a lot of these people who are successful and majority of them do the same thing.
Yeah. And we're in the line of work where whether we're saying it to ourselves, like I know a lot of actors that I talk to, you know, we all have that same mentality. Because most jobs don't last for years like our job here does. And most jobs end. And then, you know, the fear is, oh, I'm never going to book another job.
Sure, of course.
You know, and that fear, which, you know, and that can translate to, you know, that translates to any other thing for a lot of people. But for actors specifically, that's, you know, we have to fight against that. Like our whole job is based on 80% negative experiences, and we have to convince ourselves
100%
that the one of them is going to be positive and that there's going to be enough positives to outweigh the negative. And so we're good at tricking our mind. But it's funny, there's this thing called fake it till you make it, right? Which sounds like a terrible thing. But in reality, for at least me, it's if you almost, you don't force yourself to think positively, but if you make sure that you're for me, that I'm thinking positively as much as I can, positivity comes from that.
There's no doubt. So you touched on two things. The first thing is, let's just do fake it till you make it.
Yeah.
So not only are you faking your mind out, essentially, that you're going to make it and you're faking it, which sooner or later you will become that.
Right.
By thinking it so much.
Right.
You will. And the other thing is, not only are you faking it till you make it, you're taking action toward a goal.
Right.
Which most people don't do. Right. So you're doing two things by faking it till you make it.
Right.
I'm thinking positive about it that I'm going to make it and I'm taking the action steps to do it.
Sure.
So that's important. The other thing you said about actors, which I think the overall theme of what you were talking about is fear.
Yeah.
People are very fearful anyway in general, not just actors.
Right.
People getting up every day, going to another job, and I'm going to lose my job. They're making cuts here. Fearful. People are fearful. People are scared. People have anxiety. We see this more and more now, depression, fighting all this stuff. You know, and that was the one of the biggest things that changed for me was because I can get that way.
Sure.
You know, like, oh, gosh, what am I going to do if I lose my job and this and that and what's my family and this? And then you start going down the spiral that for a day or two you're in this funk that you could not get out of unless you made some type of decision to get, like, what am I doing? I got to get out of this, right? So for me, what's helped me in the last couple years was controlling my day and controlling my morning.
Yes.
Right? So for me, and I know we're not talking about this on the podcast, but people, you know, for me, I control my morning. No one else controls my morning but me.
Yeah.
I'm not up looking at emails, looking at negative stuff on social
unless
media.
Unless I text you.
Unless you text
me. Which
I
demand that you respond immediately.
Yes, I try to.
Thank you.
But, you know, if you think about it that way, if you control your day where you're not letting an outside influence start how you're thinking negatively or all this stuff, I control my day. I get up. I work out. I listen to, you know, good speakers
sure.
to put me in a positive mindset. I focus on the goals that I have in life with
right.
my family and work, obviously. And then I can start my day.
Yeah.
You know, and then I'm controlling that first part and I feel like I can have success for more of the rest of the day. But if you really think about it, all you need is like 10 minutes in the morning to control your day mm-hmm. instead of waking up, grabbing the phone.
Right.
Okay, I'm on the run. Kids, I'm late. Oh, gosh. I get to work. Oh, the boss comes in. Then your day is just like you have no control anymore. You got to
right.
take control.
Right.
It's your life. You have to take control of it, you know. And it's just I'm always learning. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to figure out how to be better, be more efficient, be more of a positive person in life and contribute
yeah.
to life, to people,
sure.
to help people. So it's always a learning. Yeah, I don't have anything mastered, by the way. I'm just trying to learn, dude.
Well, the working out every day is helping you.
Dude.
I see the results of that.
You see the results, but it's funny. I'm going to equate it to the Irish dance.
Sure.
Just talking to a guy upstairs. And that discipline of that one thing will carry over. It will transfer to something else, right? If I force myself right now, which I do, because there's days I don't want to work out. There's days I got in last night at midnight. I did not want to get up at 4:30
yeah.
this morning, get here, and run 3 miles.
Right.
I did not want to. But I knew if I do it,
mm-hmm.
my day is going to be better for me.
There is something about, you know, you can think, for instance, I can think as positively as I want to think. But if I don't take any sort of action, then the brain is in a constant war with itself. Because if you haven't taken any action, then there's no proof that you can do it.
Right.
And so my mind's like, well, you're not going to do that or whatever. When you start taking action, whatever it is, it's amazing what just taking one action, whether it's writing every morning, whether it's working out,
yep.
whether it's listening to something, whatever it is, whatever, if it's just doing something towards your goal, even if it's indirectly towards your goal, but if it can catapult you in that direction – It works together with your mind.
100%. Because what we did in the private group on Burt Nutrition, we did a 5-day challenge. I don't remember what the order was. But I felt that it was important that people take these baby steps to learn that they can do something. It was so important for me that people say, because we did 1 day without sugar, 1 day without alcohol, 1 day without the phone. One day without the phone. 1 day you had to get 7 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so there was these things like, okay, I got through the whole day with no sugar. I can do that.
Right.
Okay. Because what happens is it's compounding. If you can do that for 1 day and then you can do it the next day, you're just going to have that much more confidence that
yeah.
you can do it again and then do something else.
Right.
So it sounds so simple, but it works.
Yeah.
It just works,
man. I mean,
man.
It sounds simple, but in reality, it takes conviction.
It takes conviction and it takes people get to a different point. A lot of people like, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of feeling this way. Like we get people all the time. I'm tired of feeling this way. I don't want to feel this way. I don't want to be on medication. I don't want to do this anymore. And they hit their breaking point.
Sure.
And sometimes that's different for people.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like, you know, I just want people to know that they can change because I know there's people out there who think they can't.
Right.
And if you think you can't, you're already lost. And I want you to know that you can do it. And whatever it is you want to do,
right,
you can do it.
Well, and gosh, the amount of, I don't know if it's endorphins or just when you feel like you've made a change, when you feel like the amount of just like that seed of hope, I had to change my whole outlook in terms of how I approach what I do. In terms of, you know, there's a lot of waiting for the phone to ring.
Yeah, you were in a situation where you were in limbo.
I was like,
it's tough being in limbo.
I can't make the phone ring. Like, I can't do that. Like, that, I'm not physically capable of making my phone ring. And I was in this, well, crap, I guess there's nothing I can do. And in that was really being in this place where I know I want something to change, but I've looked at my options and there's nothing I can do. And I was in that place for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, I, you know, I, my wife noticed it. Like, I just was not.
I noticed it.
Yeah. Yeah. My wife, Steve.
Yeah. pretty much. Your road wife.
Yeah. And so it took creating new habits. It took creating, and it's amazing what ideas can start to form when you set a goal. And so it's.
Well, it's set, not only set a goal, but you have a clear path now.
Yeah.
You have a vision of what you want to do,
right,
and you're not waiting for the phone. Now you've let that go.
Yeah.
Like, I can't control this.
Right.
So here's what I can control.
Yeah.
And then that becomes a whole positive avenue of things that you can do and will do. And look what we've done.
Right.
With just by putting our energy into Stone Cold and the Jackal and the podcast, which we'll have some great news coming up.
Yeah.
But it's just, you can see how it works, dude.
Yes.
You know, and it's just, if you just put your mind to something and listen, man, Google is free. There's so much information out there. On Google. There's so many podcasts about this stuff. I am not an expert by any means. There's experts out there who can walk you through step by step to do this stuff. I listen to them. Bradford listens to them. But it's like, it's there. If you want it, it's there. It's not like the old days.
No.
Where
you
had
don't have to
go freaking buy
a
book.
Library and
you know.
Search the card catalog under titles that you thought might be interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. So,
yeah. Or buy an Encyclopedia Britannica. Hey, I'm all for Encyclopedia Britannicas, but they take up a lot of space.
It's just crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's, you know, life's short. Life is, you know, it's just, I'm just grateful. I start my day out that way because grateful will take away anxiety and fear.
Absolutely.
You're grateful and you get that burst of energy from being grateful, like, man, I'm so happy. I'm just alive. I love my wife and my kids. They're healthy, my friends, and I got a job, and I get to do what I love to do, and I'm doing all these things. It's great. I'm starting here, and I have energy, and I get and I get pumped up. I mean, just having this conversation, us.
I know, you're pumped
up. I'm
ready
to go take over the world.
I know, your veins are throbbing.
What? No, so... So it just gets me fired up, man, because I just want people to see the potential that they can go do it, whatever it is they want to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think the world would be an amazing place if people can just figure it out, man, and just be like, I'm going to do something positive for myself. Because once you do that,
then you have
you
more
start
to give.
Feeling good about yourself, and you're like, man, I just want to do this for me and other people, you know, which is cool. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So for people watching this video, if you're watching,
hey, what's up?
Yeah, so we're in the same building.
I know we're in the same building.
Yeah,
because you're actually working.
I am working today.
Today,
so it's funny. I come onto the General Hospital lot a fair amount when I'm not working. So that we can do stuff.
Yes,
whether
we do
it's
a lot.
Recording podcasts, whether it's filming holiday videos, we're done with those. So if you haven't received it, as I said, I think I said last week, check either your junk folder or whatever, because anyone that's been ordered, we have created, edited, and sent out. So whether it's doing that stuff, whether it's whatever. So I'm here a lot when I'm not working, and sometimes I feel like the poor security guards at the gate. I have to like. Hoodwink them each time.
So
I belong here, I swear.
I said Bradford Anderson. Well, yeah, is he working?
That guy again. So it is wonderful when I drive up to the lot and they're like, oh, what are you here to do today?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm here to work on the show. Imagine that.
Imagine. Go figure.
Yeah. So today is one of those days where
well, we can't give too much away.
I'm just gonna say
you can say
Spinelli picks up the phone.
Finally.
and you'll see me do it.
There you go. It's
going to
be amazing.
Into a phone.
So if someone's actually calling you and it's not going to voicemail.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
And you got some more dates coming up in January.
I know. It's for those
good, man.
For those people that.
It's working. It's working. It's working. And then we're going on the road.
Yeah, we are, dude. I mean, we are 2019 is
exciting. Yeah, it's really exciting.
Well,
dude.
And we don't give us much time to rest. Stroke of midnight come January. A week later, we're on the road.
It's on the road, bro.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm already gearing up. I'm one who can't take time off.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I'm wired.
Yeah.
You know, because. Why he does so much, too much. Does he ever rest? I don't. I do rest sometimes. I rest enough to rest and get going again.
Sure.
Because I love it, you know, and I love doing what we're doing. And in 2019, I'm already getting geared up. I'm stoked on it, and I can't wait. And
we're talking about material. We're talking about songs.
New
we're
songs for
about,
you.
We're just, I mean.
New songs for Port Chuck. New
yeah.
songs for us.
Yeah.
New dates in April for us.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Yeah. We're going to start down that road. And then, man, we got a lot planned. I can't wait. Awesome. 2019 is going to be amazing.
Awesome, dude.
Amazing. I love it.
I know. Hey, so I got a couple questions.
Okay.
From
sure.
From the viewers.
Okay. Let's hear from them. Hi,
Brian.
You can't use that.
Questions.
No, dude. You have to come up with something new.
You know what we need to do? We need to
because people listen on the
okay.
road. A lot of people love the podcast, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that right now. I got a lot of compliments on the podcast.
Great. I love that.
They're like, "Oh, it's so great! It gets me through this, or helps me through my workout, or drive to work, or home when I'm cleaning up around the house, whatever I have it in the house." And it's great, and it's cool to see how it's impacting people because people are like, "Oh, we feel like we're starting to get to know you guys."
Well, we should say this: if you guys have questions,
yeah.
Write to us at stonecoldandthejackal@gmail.com.
Yep.
And put podcast question
good,
in the subject line.
Good idea.
Yeah, I mean, we've put that on social media. I don't think we've ever said that.
Yeah, we should say that because I bet you we're going to get some great questions.
Yeah. So stonecoldandthejackal, like our show, at gmail.com. And make sure you put podcast question in the subject line because then we'll be sure to get them for the podcast. So these are some old ones that we need to do. We need to put something out on social media that's slightly incendiary so that we get the people that don't like us to respond.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, that won't be too. That won't be too hard.
Well, I did see someone after we did a Facebook Live last week, and I said. I said Facebook Live with me and Steve Burton in 5 minutes on with a link, and someone just write, "No thanks!" Exclamation point. So that was like, I just don't understand. Okay,
Now we're getting into another subject.
Well, you're entitled.
You want to open this door for me?
No.
Open the door for me.
You're entitled to not like us. That is entirely your opinion. That's fine. But following us on social media and taking the time to just say no thanks.
No thanks. And sometimes it's a giffy jiffy too.
Oh yeah.
And then they spend time to pick the no thanks out.
Oh, I know. And
it's amazing.
What are my favorite gifts? The I'll pass. I see a lot of
is
I'll
it GIF
pass.
Or GIF?
I don't know, dude.
Okay.
We're old.
I'll say
GIF. You say GIF, I'll say GIF.
Okay, recover.
We're
it.
Old enough that I think it. We get a pass.
Perfect.
anyone born pre-1985 gets a pass.
Right.
I think. Especially people born before 1965, like yourself. ow.
I will punch your face right here.
the gifts, the I'll pass, the no thanks. The eye rolls.
Yeah.
I love all those.
It's funny. Hey,
but,
dude, whatever.
Oh,
get
yeah.
a life. Anyway,
yeah. So but
that's what I'll just say.
This is from John Brewer, who is thank you for your support, John. This is a question that he wrote back in June. So sorry, we're getting to it a little late. I was wondering, has there ever been a storyline that you thought was a bad one, but turned out to be one of your best? I thought that was kind of interesting.
Gosh.
I got to say.
Dang it, man. That's a tough question,
I mean,
John.
This is kind of an easy answer for me. I remember when they introduced the Metro Court storyline, and it had the ticking clock like 24.
Yeah, you thought that wasn't going
to
work?
Well, no, I just thought that it was – I was like, oh, man, do we have to like
– rip do we 24 off?
Just be so clear about it.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. I remember going into that storyline, and I was new to the show.
Yeah.
So I didn't know how – what the potential of certain storylines could be.
Right.
I just saw that, and I was like, oh, that's pretty clear what we're doing, and gosh, how can we ever do it as well as Kiefer and the gang? But that storyline ended up being – one of my favorite. I mean,
yeah,
obviously, it was
story.
One for my character that kind of brought him into the fold more. Yeah.
Let's make sure it's about you again.
Well, I'm grateful to that storyline for so
no,
many
it is.
Reasons.
It was a great story.
But I think people loved it. And I think it played really well. And part of the reason was because they got Sebastian to be the villain. And gosh,
he did fantastic.
And he was awesome.
Yeah. You know what's really difficult to say? There was one that was going to stink or not be happy about. I don't know if I would have really negative feelings about it because I wouldn't really hear about it too far in advance, to even
sure.
know,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
You know, or be like, what are we doing here? And now usually the stories I say, well, what are we doing here? It's what are we doing here?
Right.
But –
well, I mean, you kind of said that about reading my stuff.
No, that's what I was just going to bring up was
sure.
your stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know. What is this? What is this guy? What
right.
are they trying to do? This ain't gonna work.
Yeah.
Is this gonna work? Do you think this is gonna work? Well, he's only here for 2 weeks, so it doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Hi, I'm still here.
And here he is in my dressing room still. So that was obviously an awesome surprise.
And I have a beard now.
And you have a beard. You've grown
so,
up.
Just really surprising.
Yeah.
So, shocking.
But probably that is. I mean, if you think about it, to go from. You know, being here for a short term with your type of character and you're here still, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's cool. That's awesome.
That is. That's awesome. More on that later. All right. This is from Mary, and you have a lot – Orzakowski? Just a lot of consonants. so I think I said it right. There's a Z and some skis. And
what's the first name?
Mary.
Mary's a great name.
Mary's a great name.
Let's do Mary.
I can't wait. Okay, I love listening to you and Steve. Thank you. One question. Tell me what Pier 55 looks like. How do they have the water there?
Great question.
I've been watching GH since I was 7 with my aunt. Keep up the great work.
Great.
Thank you.
So, Mary, the pier is a pier. It's basically 3 feet off the ground, like a real pier. You know what I mean.
But so, the pier, the stands for the pier are longer than 3 feet because they would go into
sure,
the water.
Sure, but I'm just saying it's not a
ours.
Set that's flush to the ground.
Correct.
It's lifted up.
Lifted
it's
up.
Raised
right.
with the assumption that the water's out there. Rarely is there ever actual water out there unless you're shot in the back and kicked into that water like a dirty animal like I was.
Yeah.
We don't
have those tanks out there like the ones where – you fell into. If you see someone fall into the if you see someone fall into the water, sometimes they're falling onto a mat, like they're not getting
true.
Right.
And then they'll pick it up on another set where there's a pool where right. we'll roll into the pool.
Right.
So actually, when I left the show and got shot, they actually raised
the whole pier was that high,
10 feet high,
as high as the
and
pool.
Then they put the tank in.
Yeah.
And so that's one time they did that, but majority of time, it's basically a little. Tray, it's probably...
Looks like a horse trough.
Yeah, it's probably 5 feet by 3 feet.
If that, yeah.
If that, and it's, 6 inches, 12 inches deep,
yeah.
maybe, with some water in there and some broken glass.
Yeah, mirror.
Mirror. And then they focus two small lights on those pans, basically,
right.
and it looks like it's reflecting
and
water.
And there's a prop, someone in the prop department that sits next to these trays... And kind of just jiggles them.
I know.
They just kind of.
What's that? Is that a new move?
That's just kind of a.
That's how you had 2 kids, right there. Don't do it. Look, and it's like you're handcuffed. So you are. You got married. You're handcuffed, and you had 2 kids. All our lovely lady listeners are like, "You bastards!"
Yeah.
But it's true because Sometimes they just have a wood, like a wood stick.
Oh, and they just kind of stir it.
They stir it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's
so
funny.
The reflection off the mirrors makes it look like reflection from water.
Yeah.
And, you know, it moves around as if it's sloshing. So that's how.
That's a great question, though, Mary.
That's a great question.
I don't know if I've answered that before, but man, they give us so many great ideas for on the road, these stories. Like, people want to know this stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening to our stories about we're not
nothing.
We're not a self-help podcast. We're not in that department.
No, but it's
we're in the film and TV entertainment department.
I know.
But this stuff is clearly important to us, and I don't know. We love talking about our families, and you know, you guys always ask about our families, and we appreciate that. And so that I think that's what kind of got us into this space today. So thanks for going with us.
Yeah, and I just think it's important because I see tweets. Like, I was going to respond to a tweet about, you know, all the hateful stuff that goes on with fan groups.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like, you know, I see that stuff, and I just like, why?
Yeah,
you know, why does it have to be that way? Why not figure out why you hate yourself instead of hating on other people?
Well,
you know what I mean? It just drives me nuts. And there's nothing you can do about it, and it's fine, whatever. People are going to do what they're going to do, but it's just, you know, one person standing up and saying, stop doing this, is never going to work.
No.
Because people are going to be people,
and
there's, you know, a lot of negativity out there, but
well, it's amazing.
We just try to be positive.
You know, some people, and not talking about the soap audience necessarily, but there are people that who's they make it their job to be what the internet trolls, right?
Sure.
But can you imagine if all you're thinking about is how to create negativity? Like, that's
right.
That's their goal.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe there's confidence in being able to do that well. Maybe they live a very positive life outside of their.
I can guarantee they do not, sir.
But that would be a hard. Their business is negativity.
Yeah, it's
so
not
that,
great.
So. We make it our business
to be positive.
Ayo!
Hey, buddy!
We're getting towards the holidays, so hope everybody is enjoying the funnel into the holidays. It feels like we're almost in that. You know, you're that the what is that the tractor beam?
Yeah, totally.
That is pulling you into
the
holidays,
office parties,
whether you like it or not.
Yeah, the Christmas parties and the gatherings. And
it's so hard to get a restaurant reservation because your favorite restaurant.
Kidding.
You go to your favorite restaurant, you're so excited, and they're closed for a private party. It's the worst. It's the worst.
That's funny.
I can't make the GH holiday party. I'm
what?
Well, it's the day. It's the day we do our walkthrough for our new house.
That's more important.
I mean, and up in Northern California.
Yeah, you can't do it.
And
dude.
It's the day we're going to start, like.
Yes. Your wife has a huge plan.
I mean, we.
It's going to it's going to be fine.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to work.
So, it's going to work.
It's going to work.
Yeah. So, anyway. But just to let you guys know, we are going to take a planned week off after the holidays. So, we're going to take, you know.
Maybe.
Maybe. Unless Steve calls me Christmas Day and we're like, how was your day, man?
What'd you get? What'd you get today, Brad?
So we may take a week off between Christmas and New Year's, unless Steve gets
how
bored
dare
and
you
wants to call
take
me.
A week off.
But we haven't taken a week off.
How
ever.
Many is this?
35.
That's been 35 weeks.
35 weeks straight without a break.
Yeah, baby.
You took a week off when Kira and I did our mini pod. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sure I wasn't taking the week off, though.
No, you weren't taking the week
off.
But
anyway.
But thank you all.
Thank you, guys. We
so appreciate
you.
It. And
have a great
talk
day.
To you soon.